Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Mem Tes, and we will begin on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. As we have been learning, the Mishnah and the Gemara that we learned in the previous shiur introduced us that there's a new concept, there's a new step in the marriage of a Jewish marriage, and that is Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal. When the messengers of the husband are given over the kala, Tana, so we learned in the Braisa, Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal, at the point where the father gave over, where his shlichim gave over the kala to the Shluchei Habal, V'Zinsan, if after that point this girl had an adulterous affair, the halacha is Harezu B'Chenek. As we have discussed, the Torah tells us that generally, if an Eishes Ish has an adulterous relationship, she's Mechuyev Chenek. However, as we also learned, there is an exception to the rule, and that's a Nara Hamurasa. A Nara Murasa is Chayiv Skila. Teaches us the Braisa that this woman, once she's already in the status of Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal, she is no longer considered the same as every Narim Amurasa, and now her Chiv Misa, if she Rechmal Otzlon, was Mezana Ischenek. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, from where do we know this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Ami Bar Chama, because the Pasuk says, Amar Kra Liznois Beis Aviyah, that she's Mechuyiv Skila, the parasha that teaches us that the Narim Amurasa is Mechuyiv Skila, uses the words Liznoi Space Aviyah, Prat L'Shemasor Av L'Shluchei Habal, to teach us that once the girl comes to that state, she's no longer considered the woman who would receive Skila. And as the Shita helps us understand the Gemara, he teaches us what the Gemara is telling us now is that there is a new stage that we have not necessarily been introduced to from Psukim in the Torah previously. Till now we've been accustomed to know there's a woman who's an Arusa and there's a woman who's a Nesua. Now we're learning that there's a new status called Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, perhaps the Pasuk is talking about a woman Shenichnasa L'Chuppah V'Lo Nivla, who already had the Chuppah but did not have relations with her husband, and the Pasuk is teaching us that that woman, if she had such adulterous relationship, is Mechuyev Chenek. But the Pasuk isn't referring to a woman who's Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal. Amar Rava, so answers Rava, Amali Ami told me, Chuppah Behedik Siva. A woman who already underwent Chuppah, the Pasuk already discusses. Because the Pasuk says, Ki Yeh Nar Psula Marasa L'Ish, when there's a woman who's a Nar Marasa, and we learn Nara V'loi Begeris. The Pasuk comes to teach us a Nara not a Begeris. The dinim of a Nara Marasa do not apply to a Begeris. Besula V'loi Be'ula. She has to be a Besula. Murasa V'loi Nesua. And she has to be only Mureses, not a Nesua. Says Rava, my Nesua. What does the Gemara mean when it says, what does the Gemara mean when it explains the Pasuk and says Nesua? Elam Nesua Mamish, that the Pasuk is teaching us that the woman underwent Nesuin, and that's why she's no longer a candidate for Skila. Haina Besula V'lai Be'ula. We already know that from the words of Besula V'lai Be'ula, that if the woman already had Bia, she no longer will be a candidate for Skila. Elalav. Who must the Pasuk be referring to in these words? Shenichnasa l'chuppah v'loi nivla. A woman that had chuppah and no bia, that she is no longer a candidate for skila. So if so, the Pasuk that we quoted earlier of Liznois Beis Aviyah is left open to teach us the halacha of Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal, that she too no longer will receive skila. Ask Taisus, that perhaps the Pasuk of Besula V'loi Be'ula is coming to teach us that if she had Bila Shloi Kedarka, she's still considered a Besula, that only a real Be'ia will consider her a Be'ula. answers Taisus, since as we've learned many times, the halacha is that even biya shaloi kadarka is considered a biya, so therefore the Taisus, that can't be pshat in the pasuk. The Pnei Yeshua asks, how can we even have a havamina that we need a pasuk to exclude a nesua? The entire parsha, the Torah already tells us that an eshes ish, a nesua, is chayiv chenek. So obviously, the pasuk is not coming to teach us the halacha of nesua. We have many psukim that teach us that if a nesua is mezana, she's chayiv chenek. So Pnei Yeshua answers what the pasuk here is referring to is to a situation where a woman was already a nesua, and then that marriage terminated. And the pasuk is teaching us that even though once she was a nesua, she will never again be a candidate for segila as a nara hamarasa. Ask the Gemara, that if for whatever reason she, the pasuk asks the Gemara, the halacha will be that if she comes to her father, to her husband's home, and then that marriage ends, the pasuk is teaching us that she never goes back to her original state. So as Rashi explains, what the Gemara's question is not really a question on the previous Gemara. It's just that the Gemara is asking a question: if a woman masor av l'shluchei habal, what is the halacha if, for whatever reason, that trip doesn't get consummated into a nesuin, and the girl returns to her father's home? What will be her halacha? Tosfos finds this pshat of Rashi somewhat problematic, because the Gemara's question is to understand what is the halacha when a girl is in the status of Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal. Says Tosfos, the Gemara should have asked this question right after the Mishnah. After the Mishnah introduced this concept of Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal, the Gemara should have asked, what are the halachas of a woman in that status? But according to the way we explained from the Shita Mukubetzes, that the pasuk of Liznoi Space Avia that the Gemara taught us at the beginning of our Shia today, that teaches us midaraisa this concept of Masur Av L'Shluch Habal, that there is such a status in Halacha. So Rashi's pshat is very nice. The Gemara just taught us that the midaraisa there is such a status called Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal. Now that we were introduced to the status, our Gemara examines what are the halachas of a woman in that status. Amarava, Akvu Kva Pasuk Debarit Be'er Rishmol. This we already can learn from the Brayser of Rishmol, the Taner of Rishmol, the Neda Amon of Agrusha, Kol Asra Al Nafshe Yokim Aleha. We know that a woman, that a girl, while she's still in her father's home, her father could be made for Hanadarim, a null Hanadarim. When she becomes a Nesua, her husband is made for Hanadarim. While she's in Arusa, her husband and father are made for the Nadarim jointly. Teaches us the Pasuk, V'neda Amana Grusha Kalash Asra Nafsha Yokim Aleh. If an Amana or a Grusha make a Nether, there's no one that can nullify that Nether, and therefore it stands. Says the Gemara, Ma Tam Aloyma. What is the Pasuk teaching us? Obviously, a nether she makes will stand, because v'aloi mutzas mechlal av u'mutzas mechlal bal. She's no longer in her father's home. She's post a woman that already got married, and she's no longer connected to her husband. That marriage terminated. Ella, the pasuk is teaching us, harei shemasar av l'shluchei habal. The pasuk is referring to a woman who is in this category of masar av l'shluchei habal. And teaches us if nisamla b'derecha in nisgarsha, if she becomes an amana agrusha, heichani kairba, what should I call her? Beis avia shazeh, should I consider her back in her father's home, since she never really entered her husband's home? Or beis baal shazeh, or maybe I consider her connected to the husband. Talmud Eloi Melach, to teach us, the pasuk teaches us, kivin sheyotze shor achs mishus av, once she left her father's rishus, mosra av l'shluchei habal, shuv eni yachal l'hofer, the father can no longer be made from the dorm. Teaches us the pasuk that this girl, once she attains that status, never goes back to her father's home. Ask the Rishonim. In our previous year, we learned the opinion of a number of Amoraim, exactly what is the halacha of this girl. And the opinion that we accepted la halacha, as we learned in the previous year, was the opinion of Shmuel, who holds that really this girl is still connected to her father's home, only regarding one din is she connected to her husband. L'yerushasa, that if chas v'sham she should die, her husband is her yairish. But as far as hafar v'darm was concerned, the halacha would be that she's still connected to her father. Yet this price that we're learning from Rabbi Shmuel teaches us that she's connected, that her father can no longer be made for her nedarim when she's in the status of Masar Av L'Shluchei Habal. So some Rishonim answer that Shmuel agrees with this brisa. Shmuel wasn't referring to this concept of Mafaris Nadarim, but Shmuel would indeed agree that as far as Mafaris Nadarim, her father cannot be made for nedarim. Another pshat that I saw from the Rishonim is as follows. When Shmuel was referring to this girl, he was speaking regarding what halachas is she considered still under the father's jurisdiction, regarding what halachas is she considered under the husband's jurisdiction. Rabbi Shmuel just taught us that as far as Hafaris Nadarim is concerned, she's not under either of theirs jurisdiction. That's not what Shmuel's referring to, because Shmuel's only saying, whose jurisdiction is she under? He's not reflecting if she's under no one's jurisdiction. There's a vart that I saw from Chaim Kanievsky, and particularly with the shot that the Shita taught us that we've been using in explaining our Gemara, it's beautiful. He says, if we follow the order of the Pesukim in the Torah that speak about a forest Nadarim, first the Torah speaks about an Arusa. Then the Torah mentions this pasuk that we just learned from Neda Amon of Agrusha. And then the Torah speaks about a Nesua. According to the way we explained, that the Torah is teaching us that there is a new status in the marriage stages of Masar Av L'Shluchei Habal. The order of the Pesukim is beautiful, because this is the order that's followed. First Erisin, then Masar Av L'Shluchei Habal, and then the Suin, and the Torah teaches us the halachas of every one of the Torah teaches us the halachas of Hafaris Nadarim in every step of the way. Amra Papa Af Anan Nami Tanina. We also learned the same concept of Masar Av L'Shluchei Habal, that at that point the girl is no longer a candidate for Skila, but only for Chenek. Habal Nara Murasa, Eino Chayv Achtei Nara Besula Murasa Beveis Aviha. Behiva Beisavia. Says Rapapa in explaining the Mishnah. Bishlam and Nara, to teach us Nara v'lo Bogeris. A Bogeris doesn't get Skila. Besula, to teach us v'loi Be'ula. Murasa, to teach us v'loi Nesua. Nesua doesn't get Skila. However, Beisavia l'mute mai. What are the words Beisavia come to teach us? Lav l'mute, it must be come to teach us the case of Masar Av l'shluchei habal, that girl also no longer receives Skila, rather Chenek. Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, Afanan Nami Tanina. We learned in the Mishnah the same. Habal Eishas Ish, if someone has relations with an Eishas Ish, Kivin Shenichnasa Rishus Habal Nasun, as soon as she entered her husband's domain, Afa Pishloi Nivala, even if they didn't have relations, the halach is Habal Reza Bechenik. If someone has relations with her, the Zchiv Chenik. Says the Gemara, Nichnasa Rishus Habal Be'alma. All the Mishnah says is that as soon as she comes into the husband's domain, even though it really hasn't been completed, that transfer into the husband's domain, it's already considered nichnasal rishus habal, that she no longer is a candidate for skila, rather only for chenek. Shmamina, that Moser Av l'shluche habal, the halacha is she's mechuyev chenek if she's mezana chas v'shalom, not skila. Says the Mishnah, Ha'av enem chayev b'mezaynus b'itoy. A father is not responsible to support his daughter while he's alive. Says the Gemara, Zeh medrash darash Reb Elazar ben Azariah l'fnei chachamim. This is something Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Rashi says, we're all familiar with the Gemara Masechta Brachos. We refer to it by the Seder, Pesach, that Reb Elazar ben Azariah was appointed to be Nasi. And Rashi says that on the day that he was appointed Nasi, he said many halachas, and these halachas that we're about to learn are included in that group. Zeh medrash darash Reb Elazar ben Azariah l'fnei chachamim b'Keren B'Yavna. He said in Keren B'Yavna, it's called Keren B'Yavna either because it was a yeshiva and the rows in which the Talmidim sat were set up like a vineyard. Another pshat that I saw is that Klal Yisrael is compared to a grape tree, Inve HaGefen. So Keren B'Yavna, Klal Yisrael, when we learn Torah, are compared to a vineyard. Habonim Yirshu v'Habonis Yizoynu. Elazar ben Azariah explained the words of the Ksuba, and a word of introduction is required. In the Ksuba is included what is known as Ksubas Benin Dikrin. It's one of the stipulations of the Ksuba, which means the following. As we have been learning, the father of the Kala typically included in the Ksuba a Nadin, a dowry, to the Chosin. And as we've been learning, should the wife, the daughter of this man, predecease her husband, her husband inherits her whatever she brought into the marriage. The father of this woman now has a real concern. His son-in-law may take more than one wife. In those days you were allowed to marry more than one wife. Or even if he doesn't take more than one wife at a time, after his daughter passes away, he may take a different wife and have children. After now this husband dying, who will be his inheritors? All of his sons. He may have more sons from the second wife than from the first wife. So this father-in-law thinks to himself, I'm giving all of these assets to my son-in-law that may end up outside of my family. They may end up by my son-in-law's other children. So to avoid that, Chazal included in the Ksubas Minin Dikrin, that says that when this husband will pass away and we divide up his estate, the assets that came from the family of the wife will not be shared by all of his sons. Rather, the sons of that wife, the grandchildren of that original father-in-law, grandsons of that original father-in-law, will be the only ones to receive that portion of the estate. Another stipulation included in the Ksuba is that the husband agrees to the wife that if he dies and there's still daughters at home, the estate, his estate, will support those daughters. Said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Habonim Yirshu, his sons to have the Ksubas Benin Dikrin get their share from their grandfather, what he gave the husband, Habonis Yizoynu, and the daughters are supported from the husband's estate. Ma Habonim Eni Yoshim Elach Mises Av. The issue of Ksubas Benin Dikrin is only relevant after the man dies. Teaches us the Mishnah, Af Habonis Eni Dizonis Elach Mises Aviem. The responsibility to support one's daughters is only after the person dies. Says the Gemara in understanding the Mishnah. But Mizoynus Pita Huuda in a Chayiv. He's not obligated to support his daughter. Well, we could extrapolate. Habazoynus Benoy, his son, Chayiv. He is obligated to support. Furthermore, Pita Nami Chayivu Daleka. There's no obligation to support a daughter. Hamitzvah Ika. There is a mitzvah. Ask the Gemara if that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. We need to understand Mani Masnison, who is the Tan of our Mishnah. For we find the following machloikis. Because seemingly, Loi Rabbi Meir, Veloi Rabbi Yehuda, Veloi Rabbi Yochanan Baraika. This understanding the Mishnah is not consistent with any of the opinions of the Tanoim, the Tanya. Mitzvah Lozenas Abanas. There's a mitzvah to support daughters, kavachayim lebanim, and certainly there's a mitzvah to support sons, daski b'tayra, because sons learn Tyra, and there's an obligation to support those that learn Tyra. Tysus, this is Ramea's opinion, divrei Ramea, and as Tysus explains, this discussion that sons, because they learn Tyra, have precedence is only regarding support. We're not talking Hilchos Yerusha. Hilchos Yerusha have entirely different halachas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitzvah laws in the sabbanim. There's a mitzvah to support the sons, the kavachayim labanis, and certainly daughters. Mishum Zalusa, to have the daughters have to go collect for their support is very disgraceful, and that's why daughters come before sons. And as Kivagra explains, what is the nafkamina between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda? They're both agreeing that one has a mitzvah to support both sons and daughters. In a situation where one has a minimal income, who comes first? According to Ramei, the sons, the Aski Baraisa, come first. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the daughters come first. And in fact, I saw from the Shaila Tshuvas Torah Lishma the following Shaila. One left a tzava. Somebody left a will that a child of his brother's should be supported from his estate. His brother had a son and a daughter, and he didn't identify which child did he mean, the son or the daughter, says the Shaila Tshuvas Torah Lishma. That, now that we need to understand on what to do with this will be based on the Machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yehuda. According to Meir, it should be the son. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be the daughter. He says, La locha lemaisa, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and the daughter comes before the son. But I did see from the Mefarshim that there will be a situation that Ramea will agree with Rabbi Yehuda. The only reason Ramea says that a son takes precedence over the daughter is the Aski Baraisa, because the son is learning. But let's say we have a son who's not learning Torah. He's already, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the next year, at what age we see if somebody's successful in his learning. And we already see that this boy is not successful in his lap learning. So there he doesn't have the claim of Aski Baraisa. And then even Rabbi Meir perhaps will agree that the daughter takes precedence. So and then the third opinion is the opinion of Yachman and Breika, who says, there's only obligation to support the daughters after the father passes away. While the father is alive, there's not even a mitzvah to support sons or daughters. So now we need to understand Mani Masnisen. Who is the Tanavah Mishnah? Loi Rameya. It's that Rameya. Because Rameya says, Om Abon Mitzvah. He says there's a mitzvah to support sons. Our Mishnah seems to hold that there's an obligation to support sons. Rabbi Yehuda, Harm Abonim Nami Mitzvah. He says that there's a mitzvah to support sons, and according to, but not an obligation. Rabbi Yechman Breika, it's certainly hard, because he holds a fil mitzvah Nami Leka, and our Mishnah seems to hold that there's at least a mitzvah by sons and daughters. Answers the Gemara, Ibai Sem Rameya. Ibai Sem Rabbi Yehuda, Ibai Sem Rabbi Yechman Breika. We could explain the Mishnah according to each of these opinions. Ibai Sem Rameya Vachkama. Ha'av Enechai Bebezonis Pitoi. A father is not obligated to support his daughter. For who Adin Labanoi? For a mitzvah Vita Ika. But there is a mitzvah to support the daughter, and certainly Kavachayim Labanim. There's a mitzvah to support sons who learn Torah. V'hai the Taning Bita. So why did our Mishnah single out to talk about a daughter? Hakamashmon, our Mishnah is teaching us, feel a bita, chayvudalek, even by the girl, where there is no obligation, ha mitzvah ikka, there still is a mitzvah. Vibai sem Rabbi Yehuda, vachkama. Ha'av enechayim v'zonis bitoi, a father is not obligated to support a daughter, v'koshke el b'nai, and he's certainly not obligated to support the son. Ha mitzvah b'nai ikka, there is a mitzvah to support a son, the kavachayim lebanis, and there's certainly a mitzvah to support daughters, as we're learning, because the daughters have, it's more disgraceful for them to have to go collect funds. So why did the Mishnah speak about a daughter? Hakamash Malan, to teach us that even though Rabbi Yehuda is so concerned about the girls, still, afil bitoy chayvaleka, there's no obligation to support one's daughter. And we can explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika. One is not obligated to support his daughter. He doesn't have to support his son either. Furthermore, there's no mitzvah to support one's son or daughter. So why did the Mishnah use a language which is ambiguous, which seems to indicate that there is at least a mitzvah to support one's daughter? Because since the Mishnah wants to indicate that after the father died, based on what it says on the Ksuba, there is an obligation to support the daughters, that's why in the Reisha, the Mishnah also used the words of Ein Achayev, which although perhaps misleads us to believe that there is a mitzvah, that's not what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. Because Rabbi Yochanan Breika holds, and he says that the Mishnah holds the same way, there is not even a mitzvah to support daughters while the father's alive. The Mishnah only wants to be consistent in its terminology. Amr Rav Ila Amr Esh Lakish Mishum Rav Yehuda Bar Chanina B'usha Skina Chazal V'Masakran Usha She Adam Zon Esponov Esbenoisuk Shen K'tanim, that a person is obligated to support his children when they're K'tanim. And as Tosfos introduces this Gemara, he tells us that a child that's below 6 years old, a father is obligated to support his child. To the degree that I saw from the Maram Rattenberg, that what would be the halacha if there's a child born, this could happen, a child is born, a very wealthy child, he has an inheritance already in the bank before he's born, still there's an obligation for a father to support the child till he's 6 years old. The Beis Shmuel disagrees. The Beis Shmuel says that if the child is independently wealthy, even below the age of six, the father is not obligated to support him. Till when does that obligation continue? The Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam say, at shigadlu, until they become bas mitzvah, which again the Achroinim take issue with, because the Drisha asks that as soon as he's 6 years old, he's a teenager, he's already, the father's not obligated to be supported by his father, even a mitzvah from Usha. So the Drisha says, yes, at that point the father could insist that the child should go to work. The Maaser Keach disagrees. He says when the Shulchan Aruch says Ad Shigadlu, it doesn't mean until the 13. It means until when the child is mature and skilled enough to find a job. But again, the chiyuv is only till 6. In Usha, Usha was one of the stops that the Sanhedrin made on when it went into Galus, and as we're going to be learning over the next couple of shiurim, the Gemara is going to be quoting different decrees that were made in Usha. In Usha, they were masakin that the child should be supported on Ad Shigadlu past the age of 6. Ask the Gemara, Ibailahu, Hilchus Kavasei or in Hilchus Kavasei, is the halacha like Reb Ila or not? Do we rely on what Reb Ila said that there's the obligation to support children past the age of 6? Toshma, Kava also Kamed Reb Yehuda, when fathers who did not support the children would come to Reb Yehuda, Amlu, he would say to them, Yara Jolda, the jackal gave birth, Vabnei Masa Shadja, and he throws the needs of its children upon the people. So there are two ways how the Rishonim explain this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that even the jackal, who has very little mercy on his child, still recognizes that it's its child and supports its child. And this person doesn't act even like that wild animal. Others explain that the jackal, the Ritva seems to be learning this way, that the jackal doesn't support its children. And what the Gemara is saying, what's said about this person is, he's like this jackal. Just like the jackal doesn't support his children, so too does this person not support his children. I saw from the Shem Tzion Balocha, he says that the jackal is the animal which is generally very depressed. So he says, a depressed person has a difficulty sharing with others. And he says, that's pshat, that the jackal in its depression doesn't support its children, and so too is this person acting. That's why he says we find that Purim is the day we give Shalach Manas, because on Purim everybody's besimcha, And when a person's besimcha, he has no problem to shear. But what we see from this Gemara, we said this about the person, but we don't force him to support his children. If a person who did not support his children would come to Rav Chisda, they would turn over a basket in public, and they would get up on the basket. Who was the one that got up into the basket and made this announcement? Was it the father himself who did not support his children, or was it the people of the town making the announcement about the father? Or v'boy b'nei, even a raven wants his children. Who gavra l'boy b'nei, this person doesn't have rachmanis to support his children. Ask the Gemara, v'or v'boy b'nei, is it true that the raven has rachmanis on his children? V'ksiv, we say the pasuk every day, l'vnei oiva shikro, the children of the ravens cry out because their parents don't give them sustenance. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha, haba chivri, haba uchmi. White ravens are not supported, black ravens are supported. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that a raven is black. When its child is born, it's white. The child is born with white feathers. So the parent doesn't recognize this young bird as its child. I'm black, it's white, and therefore doesn't support it. As the young child, the young bird grows up and gets the dark black complexion, it recognizes its child, and then it supports it. Habichivri, when it's still white and young, it doesn't support it. When it's older and black, it does support it. Taisus doesn't agree with Rashi's pshat, because Taisus says that the Gemara should have said the differences between young ravens and old ravens. And therefore, Taisus says there are two types of ravens. There are white ravens and black ravens. The white ravens don't take care of the children. The black ravens do take care of the children. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara says, Masechta Erevin, B'miyat HaMaitzen, by whom do we find success in Torah? Where do we find success in someone having children, Talmid Chachamim, somebody who acts towards his children like an Oyrif? Says the Chasam Sofer, what's Pshat? Rashi just taught us that the Pshat of an Oyrif is, does he recognize his child or not? What type of chinuch is the Gemara Masechta Erevin teaching us should we give our children? The chinuch should be like an oyrif, that the children should be recognized as the children of the parents. We should give the children a chinuch that they should follow bedarkei ha'avos, in the ways of the parents. Ki'ava osel kamei de Rava, when a father was not supporting his children, would come to Rava, omelach, he would say to him, Nichalach, the mitzvah nebanach mitztaka, are you satisfied that your children should be supported from tztaka? And like that, he hoped that the father would be embarrassed and start supporting the children. However, says the Gemara, we're learning now that we can't force anybody to support the children. However, above six, V'loy amaran el d'loy omid, that's only regarding a father who's not wealthy. Aval Amid, if the father is wealthy, kafina le'akarche, we force him against his will to support his children. Kihad the Rava kafila of Nosam Barami, Rava forced Rav Nosam Barami, fafik mine abim zuzul at stocker, took from him 400 zuzim for stocker. Point out the Paiskim a number of very interesting issues. Number one, the Rishonim point out, we've learned earlier in our parak that the earnings of a girl who's a ketana or a nara go to a father. Say the Rishonim that if there's going to be a situation where the father is not supporting the daughter, then she doesn't have to turn over her earnings to a father. For they explain that we learn that by an Eved Ivri, the halacha is that a master cannot tell his Eved Ivri, your salary is mine, but I'm not going to support you. So if that's the halacha by an Eved Ivri, certainly that's the halacha by a daughter. Furthermore, say to Paiskim that even though we're saying now that a father supporting children above the age of six is considered stalker, and the Gemara is going to say it explicitly in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow's shir, Gemara is going to quote the pasuk of Oisit Stalker B'chaleis Zeha Zon Umafanis Bonov Ubenoitzov K'shem Ketanim. still say the Paiskim, the halacha is, so if it's tzedakah, so everybody in a community has an obligation to give tzedakah. Said a Paiskim that this is the type of tzedakah situation that the parents have a primary obligation prior to other people. It's not just an equal obligation on the entire community. Taisus and Rishonim and Achronim go to great lengths in our sugya to ask a question. Gemara says in Masechta Chulin that any mitzvah where the Torah mentions the schar, the halacha is that we cannot force a person to do that mitzvah. The mitzvah of tzedakah, as Tosfos, is a mitzvah that the Torah tells us the schar. Ki beglal hadova hazeh yivarechecha Hashem elokecha. So as Tosfos, how can we force somebody to give tzedakah? It's a mitzvah. Shematan tzchara is mentioned in the Torah. So Tosfos answers that when the Gemara here says that they forced him, doesn't mean that they actually forced him physically, they only forced him with words. The Gemara there is referring to physical force. Another Teretz Taisus gives is that this is something that everybody agreed on. In a situation where everybody agrees to give something for tzedakah, that type of situation, one can be forced. In fact, that concept I found the Aruch HaShulchan uses. The Noida Behuda discusses a shaila where there was a couple who was married and the wife had a terrible problem with her husband. Her husband never gave tzedakah and she was very disturbed that her husband never gives tzedakah, such an important mitzvah. And particularly the Noida Behuda says she was pregnant and she certainly wanted to give tzedakah to have to be assured that she will have a healthy child. Says the Noida Behuda, a wife has no right to use her husband's money without permission, even with the best intentions, and she may not use that money, she may not give tzedakah without his permission. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, however, if it's a community where everybody agreed to contribute a certain amount to tzedakah, there the halacha will be that the wife can, because it's following what Tosfos just taught us, that in a place where there's an agreement, kitsu b'neim, everybody has to, there we could force to give tzedakah and the wife could give tzedakah. Another Teretz Taisus gives is that there's not only a mitzvah asay in giving tzedakah, but there are also mitzvahs lois asay, lois amitz es levavcha v'lois sikvitz es yotrecha. So a mitzvah asay we can't force somebody to give, but here we're referring to the mitzvah lois asay that we can force. Davni Meluim says that in tzedakah there are two parts to giving tzedakah. There's one part to tzedakah is the nedivas halev, a person being of a good heart. That's what the pasuk and the bracha of the pasuk refers to. But the actual nesina tzedakah, giving tzedakah, that's not what this pasuk is referring to. So it's not a mitzvah asay. Shematan tzchara is mentioned, and we can force this mitzvah asay. Another pshat that I saw, it's only a mitzvah to say like kibbut of the aim, where the Torah gives a bracha of arichas yomim, is there the din that we could not force a person to be mekayim the mitzvah. Here, although the Torah mentions a schar, it doesn't say the schar of arichas yomim, and that's why we could force. And another text that I saw from the Sefer Paras Yosef is as follows. Where can't we force a person to do a mitzvah to say for which the Torah gives a schar? That's when it's not at the expense of someone else. The example that we just gave, kibbut aveim. If one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, kibbut aveim, it doesn't adversely affect another person. Here, if I'm not going to give tzedakah, my neighbor is going to have to give more tzedakah. That's a case where I could be forced to give tzedakah. So as we're learning now, the obligation to support one's children above 6 years old is a mitzvah tzedakah. So there's a very fundamental shaila discussed by the Paiskim. Can we use maisa money to support one's children? It's tzedakah. So Ramosha says, certainly maisa money cannot be used to teach one, to pay for one's child to learn Torah. Because there's a separate obligation for father to teach his son Torah. V'shinanto v'necho. And therefore he can't use maisa money for that. Although my Rebbe, Reb Tovi Goldstein, told me that if so, if one sends his daughters to Beis Yaakov, so there's no obligation to teach one's daughters Torah, so then he can use Maisa money for that tuition payment. So using Maisa money to support one's children is a mutter or not. So it's a machloikis, the Shach, and the Taz. The Taz says that one may not use Maisa money. The Shach says one may use Maisa money. So does, and the Shach actually quotes the Maram Rattenberg. I saw that many Paiskim have a difficult time understanding the Taz stringent opinion, because they say, how could the Taz argue on the Maram Rattenberg, to the degree that I saw some explain that the Taz is only referring to children who are below 6 years old. That since, as we learned, there's an obligation to support them, Maisa money can't be used. But above 6 years old, some want to suggest even the Taz would agree Maisa money can be used. La loch la Maisa, Ramosha, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes the Chazon Ish, hold the Maisa money cannot be used to support children. Rav Avadya Yosef in the Shalos Tshuvos Yechavadah says that Maisa money can be used to support children. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rab Illa Amar Rish Lakish. Usha Skina. The Gemara quotes another decree that was made an issue. Hakaisa Kol Nechasov Abanov. If somebody gives over in writing all of his possessions to his children, Hu Yishtiv Nezonimhem, his wife and he still are supported off of those assets. Machlok Sushanim, how to understand this decree? Is it because we say that that's certainly what he meant? He didn't mean to give everything away and be left with nothing. He certainly wanted to leave over for himself what he needs to live for him and his wife. And the Rishonim saying not only him and his wife, but also his young children are included in this decree of Usha. Others say that he meant perhaps to give everything away, but Chazal said that it should, the amount that he needs and he and his family still need to believe to live should not be considered given away. Maskula Rav Zeir Rav Itay Rav Shmuel Ben Nachmani Gedol Mezu Amru. Chazal said Amazoysov Nezoynis Menachosov. If a man dies, his widow is supported from his property, even though it's already inherited by his daughter and her husband. So who is it necessary to tell us that him and his wife are supported from the property that he gave to his children? The Sholach Ravin Bigarte, and the Gemara explains it, because Ravin sent the following letter. Mishmeis v'niach amon v'bas. Somebody died and left a widow and a daughter. So his daughter inherits his estate. But the estate still has to support the widow. Nisus habas, if the daughter gets married, the widow still is sustained from this estate. Mesa habas, if the daughter dies and her husband is the one that inherits her, Ari Yehuda bar Achoyse Shereb Yosef Bechanina, Al Yodei Hayemaisa, I had such a story. Vama Amanoisav Nezoynis Menachosav, his widow is supported from the property, even though the wife, the husband of the wife, is considered a loikeach. The aloch is that he's considered somebody who purchased these assets. And the aloch is that if someone sells his assets, sells property, even though he has an obligation to support his wife after he passes away, the wife cannot go to those purchases to get that support. Here, Chazal made a special rule that the wife is supported. Ask the Gemara, who ve ishta mebaye? Is there any question that he and his wife should be sustained when he gave everything to his children? And the Rishonim go a little deeper in explaining this Gemara. If somebody gives a gift to someone who's not his child, we assume that they gave the gift because he received something in return. But when one gives a gift to his children, it's not because he got or is expecting something in return. So it must be that when he gave it to them, he wanted to remain enough that he should be supported. As we see that we're so concerned about the widow. Madatayma, so says the Gemara, Usha needed to make this takana. Because we said, Hasim with the luck of the Torah. After the husband dies, there's no one to take care of the widow. And that's why Chazal made a takana that she gets supported from the estate, even if her daughter is no longer alive and it's only being taken from her daughter's husband. Here, the husband's still alive. So even if he gave everything away to his children, he could still go work and have how to support his wife and children and himself. Kamashmuan, that's what Usha said. We don't say that, and they can live off, they still are entitled to take what they need from that, from those assets. Ibailu, Hilch Kavasei, or Lesach Kavasei, is this a correct ruling? Toshma, Rav Chanina and Rav Yosef Hamakaimer, Rav Chanina and Rav Yosef were standing together. Also, who gavra gochen for Noshkel Rav Yochanan Akari. A person came and kissed Rav Yochanan on his foot. Amle Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina said to Rav Yosef, my hi, what is the reason for this? Amle Kais of Nechas Labonavu. This was a man who conveyed all of his possessions to his children. Vasnisnil is nay. And I forced them to support him. Iam Bishlamalav Dino. If we'll say that the halacha doesn't follow Usha, Mishim Hocha Sinu, so we could understand how Rabbi Yonason went past the letter of the law, forcing the sons to support the father, and why he was so appreciative. Eliam Redina, but if we say that the din follows Usha, a sinaboy, why do you have to force the sons? Obviously, the halacha doesn't follow Usha, and that's why this person was so makatov to Rabbi Yonason for what he did.